But I've got a couple of video clips for you tonight, although come to think about it, I should be able to see my notes. but you'll be able to see them better. I wonder if we can compromise a little bit and have a bit of light on the front here, brother. I forgot to bring my portable light, but I don't want to wipe out the pictures because I have a video clip that's tough to see. I also need to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, oh yeah, we've got a bit of light. This is good, yeah. Thank you. Things work wonderful when you know the switches. Great to be with you again, wonderful hospitality. This is the one assembly of all the assemblies that we speak at that knows most about Vivian's gluten-free diet, since she always appreciates it. But we've had a great day. Now, I do want to get into Hebrews 12, where the pastors read those first three verses as we get into this, and I want to talk about the race, running the race, and perseverance. I happen to have the NIV with me, if you don't mind, and I'll just read the opening part, the first three verses of this great chapter, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out to us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God speak to us through that important passage of Scripture tonight. Perseverance. This passage I read starts off saying, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, as I think about this verse, I remember last time I was with you in November, I told you about a very exciting time we'd had last summer. You probably can't remember that, let alone my sermon. There's my chief script reader nodding. I talked about my trip to England with my family to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. And I want to talk about that for a particular reason, because here we are. This is my grandson and daughter and Vivian there in a white coat, little granddaughter. See, I'm leading the pack, but we're going off to catch the train. And I got to tell you, one of the things I learned, that having a lot of luggage sure slows you down when you want to move quickly to get somewhere. In fact, I got some travel advice from that trip for you tonight. Don't ask what you can take. Ask what you can leave behind. When you're packing that case, say, what can I leave out? And I wish we'd understood that before the trip. Because we were trying to catch a train. Here we are in London. We just managed to catch the train, but we made it. But I've got to tell you, that luggage sure made it a challenge. Now, I'm telling you this because this passage starts saying, let us throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance. And it's just a reminder right off the bat that there are things that can really slow us down in life. Now, of course, Hebrews 12:1 uses the matter of a race. We weren't exactly racing with that train in a sense, we were running, but it uses the matter of a race for the Christian life. And what it says is, if you're going to live the Christian life effectively, we need to throw off everything that hinders us really moving forward if we're to run well. So the question tonight that we need to ask is, what do we need to be consistent and to persevere to the end of the Christian life race? Well, we've already had a strong clue in my story of the luggage, and we're going to see from Hebrews 12 that what we're going to have to do is to be ready to drop. Now, I don't just mean drop some things and drop some luggage. Not just because you have to drop or discard stuff to run well, but because it's important. And not just because it's important to drop on your knees in prayer, that would be important. But I'm actually saying this because it happens that the word drop actually handily summarizes four things that are really needed to persevere in the race. As we go through this passage, we're going to learn what I've already said something about. We have to dress light. We have to be free of encumbrances. We're going to see that we have to run on course, that we have to keep moving forward toward the goal. And the central thing we need to learn is that we've got to observe the coach. We've got to focus on Christ. And at the end of the day, of course, we've got to persist to the end, because it's all about finishing well. So I want to talk about being free of encumbrances in our spiritual life, about going forward to the goal that God has set for us, focusing on Christ to make sure we finish well. And that's why I thought the word drop would be a convenient little acronym to help us remember all that. So here we are, Hebrews 12. It's picking up, of course, the theme of perseverance, which, if you read through Hebrews, is actually introduced at the end of chapter 10. Chapter 10 starts talking about this, and the great chapter 11 that we've talked about, and then suddenly we get this great verse. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, referring back to chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So much in that verse. But listen, incidentally, before I get into it, let me say a word about the cloud of witnesses in that first verse. The cloud of witnesses, of course, are all the great examples that we discussed in chapter 11. Now, we discussed some of them. Those in chapter 11 that ran and ran and ran until they were victorious, and of course were called to be inspired by them and to run the race like they did in faith, never giving up, and no matter what obstacles we encounter, moving forward. But I believe it's wrong to think of these witnesses as saints in heaven looking at us or spending time wondering how we're doing in a race. A lot of commentaries say that. But you know, as I thought about this verse, I thought, you know, when the departed are in the presence of the glorious Lord, he's their total occupation. My dad was a godly man and died at 96, and he's in heaven, but I'd hate to think that he spends time wondering about why I'm stumbling along the path like I do sometimes. I mean, if some of the saints could see the way some of us stumble and stagger on the track, I gotta tell you, heaven would be less than perfect for them. So I believe they're not, these witnesses are not people in the stands cheering us on as they watch us run in the race, as many people interpret this verse, but rather that this cloud of witnesses surrounding us, they're examples, not onlookers. So rather than them looking at us, what it says, we're called to look to them. We're called to look at these examples. And their example is there to encourage us. And of course it should encourage us, because listen, the God who was their God as they raced is also our God. Don't think, oh, that's Bible stuff. These are special characters. You see, we can run as well as they did because God is with us just as he was with them. The same God, the same presence, and that makes all the difference. So that's a... And if a byline on that cloud of witnesses, let's look now at these four things that drop summarizes. Four things that we need to do in order to run well in the race. And the first one we began to talk about already is dress light, to be free of encumbrances. And that's why you need to remember my story about the luggage. We just come back from England last Tuesday. Apparently I said yesterday, but it just seemed like yesterday, but it was last Tuesday. But I found again, you know. I mean, Air Canada wants to charge us $50 for one extra bag. And I mean, it's a sideline this, but I have a little quarrel with Air Canada because I can't lift a heavy bag. So we pack two 15-pound bags or two 20-pound bags. They allow 50 pounds. But they want to charge me for the second bag. I said, well, I can't have to put it in two bags because I'm a little guy. In my 70s, I can't lift a big bag. But it doesn't make any difference. And I think it's true. This luggage is an encumbrance and an expense if you happen to be flying. But what I'm saying tonight is about spiritual encumbrances. It's anything. And what is an encumbrance? What are you talking about? It's anything that can impede our ability to run. And what I want to say tonight is, an encumbrance may not be the big and obvious sins. This guy is obviously not going to get very far very fast. Luggage can be an encumbrance. But you see, this passage doesn't only mean the big sins that most of us are keen to avoid. People that come to Tavistock Bible Chapel Sunday night that are not into those big sins that you know would stop any progress in your Christian life. What the man in the street calls a sin, those things that get into the newspapers. I mean, there are clear and serious sins that we know for sure would trip us up and cause us to fall. And that's what people tend to think about. But what I want to remind you of tonight as believers is there are less obvious things. Things that allow us to run, but they hinder our progress. And they're often innocent things, allowable things, but things that become so important to us that they begin to impede our ability to freely move forward in this race. And we need to think, I believe, more about the way in which we can allow innocent things, even praiseworthy things, to divert us from our objective, which is a strong finish in the race. So if we become so involved in these good and praiseworthy things, I mean things like our business, it's just important, it's praiseworthy, our family, nothing could be more important, you say, our hobbies, sports, studies, even the study of theology. I mean, I could make a long list, but I'm saying to the extent that they become our major preoccupation, if that happens, if they become our major preoccupation in life, if anything becomes a focus of our lives, then of course they can become the stuff that hinders in the race. And it may not be a big thing, it may be a small thing. I have a small stone there and you may not be able to see. Yeah, it says control on the stone. Anything that stands in the way of a growing personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, even good and legitimate things, they can become encumbrances that weigh us down. And the challenge, you see, is the reality is that any pursuit, whether it's acquiring possessions or a temptation for all of us, I mean, I'm at the happy stage in life where I'm trying to get rid of stuff. Even my kids don't want the stuff, you know. I got all the stuff that I've accumulated. Being absorbed in our house and garden. We love our garden. It's very important. But you see, anything like that actually can be something that interferes with our spiritual growth. It can become an encumbrance that we need to cast aside if it becomes the focus of our lives. You know, I don't know whether you remember, we just had the Winter Olympics, but I'm thinking back to the Summer Olympics when there was a big fuss about some new, very light, tight-fitting swimsuits that they acted almost like a second skin, and the world-class swimmers just loved them because, of course, they could swim stripped down to the absolute minimum, and there was nothing really to impede their progress in the water as they raced. And of course, the sports bodies were wondering whether these would be allowed and so forth. But as I read about that, I thought, you know what, this passage is saying is be like those swimmers. You'd be really interested in minimizing the impediments to stop you moving forward. So let's face this challenge and say, I'm going to try to deal with stuff that slows me down or trips me up. I want to dress right so I'll be free of encumbrances. I mean, spiritually so. And don't always think it's the big stuff. You know, I mean, it might be something simple. There's the untied shoelace. And this passage says, it's stuff that so easily entangles us. I thought about, you know, I read that verse and I thought about my mother. She used to say, tie your shoes. And I didn't have far to fall. I mean, When your mind says if you trip up, you don't go very far, right? but she had a point because I realized that, hey, I've tripped on stairs and then you do have a long way to fall. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a small thing, an untied shoelace. Why do people say tie your shoes? It's a small thing, but it entangles. And I think that's what we need to think about. What is entangling me? It's a really good exercise to regularly read the Lord's words. In Matthew 6, the great Sermon on the Mount, He began to talk about the fact that the Lord knows you need the basics like food and clothing. They're important. The Lord knows that. But he reminds us, and this is the important reminder that fits in so well here, in Matthew 6:33, he says, yeah, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, they'll be added to you. Oh, it's good stuff. Of course it's good. It's important. There's nothing wrong with it. But the Lord said, look, it's a matter of what you're seeking first. It's a matter of what your focus is. Now let me say one other thing, before I get into anything else, let me say, of course, that some of you may have to carry the weight of a burden on your heart that's not something you're preoccupied with from choice. Maybe you're preoccupied with a burden, but it's a difficulty that has come into your life, and it's come unwelcome into your life. Now that's a different matter. If you're carrying a burden like this, a burden that you can do nothing about, a burden that's unwelcome, it's a difficulty you couldn't well live without. Well, all I can say is just follow the call of Scripture. There's a little sideline, let me quote 1 Peter 5:7, in this little picture that says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. It's like the Lord wants to take those burdens, that care, that worry, that problem, that need. And he said, let me carry that. And all I can say, if you cast your burden on the Lord, then really you could read this text as this thing, having laid aside the weight, then you could still move forward. And I know it's a huge problem that some of you maybe have, but that's an important little strategy for dealing with that. And do remember this, and it's so important to remember this, that often more spiritual progress comes on the path of trials and tears than the road of success and laughter. And we all want success. Laughter's great. Love to live life joyfully, but trials and tears are a reality of life sometimes. I've had a blessed life, but those moments of trial and tears that we've all known, you can't live for 70 years without knowing those moments. Looking back, they have actually been times of spiritual progress in the race. And God uses those things. So let me mention that. That's a separate kind of burden that I need to say something about. Because we want to make progress, and let's move into our R. Drop, dress right, but R is run on course. What we need to do is to go forward to the goal, because what does verse 1 add? It adds, you want to run the race marked out for us. The race, it says, set before us. You know, the race set before us, it's just the appointed course of our individual lives. And of course, we all have different lives. God has a different plan for each of us, and each course has its own obstacles. It has its own difficulties. But you see, it's a course set by the Lord. Now, the Lord knows your capabilities and gifts. This guy is not going to get very far because he can't climb the barrier. He may look a tough guy, but you see, each course is set by the Lord, and the Lord knows your capabilities, knows your gifts, knows your weaknesses. And you'll never succeed in the race if you wander from the course that God has called you to run. So many people, you know, forget the Lord has set a course, and success requires that we stay on the course that God calls us to run. I came across, when I was thinking about this just a couple of weeks ago, a wonderful little verse in 1 Corinthians 7:17, in the English Standard Version. It was put very clearly. It said, look, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to them and to which God has called them. Let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to them and to which God has called them. I've known Christians that try to live a life that is like somebody else's. No, you see, we have to run on the course that God has called us to. Now, at this point I want to make another little sideline, because there's an important thing to say here. I've got this slide I must mention. First, we need to run our course in such a way that we're always moving forward to the goal God has set for us. Now, the general goal is the same for all of us. It's likeness to Christ. Never forget what God's about, is transforming us into likeness to Christ. But I wanted to make a point, and I was a bit ahead of myself, I forgot that slide. I want to make a point about distinguishing carefully between perseverance, which is what I'm talking about, and preservation. You see, when I talk about persevering in the race, some people run away with the idea that maybe they can stumble and lose it all. And I want to talk about that for a minute, because if you have life in Christ, then you have the Lord's assurance that you can never lose your eternal salvation. Some people have misread scriptures. They think this can happen. But all who are born of God are kept by God, and the Lord promised, He promised His sheep eternal life. And we said God cannot fail this morning. He will ensure that they all obtain the eternal glory He's promised, because we've learned today there's no possibility of failure with God. In fact, Scripture says in Ephesians 1:14, if you're a believer, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the redemption of those of His. And that's an ironclad guarantee. So don't think when I'm talking about perseverance that I'm talking about somehow losing it all. However, the fact that you can be confident of your eternal preservation doesn't take away your responsibility to persevere in the faith and make that distinction. And it's an important spiritual exercise to keep checking whether you're moving forward. You know, I believe this is a nice community, this assembly, and the spirit of love and harmony here. And as a community of Christians, you should ask each other regularly, I mean, how goes the race? It's so easy to say, good night, brother, nice to see you, lovely day, we have to say all that, but let's just help each other. The challenge, you see, is to assess how we're doing and to run on course and move forward to the goal. And of course, it's a big challenge because this race is a marathon, but it's not just a marathon. I've got to tell you, it's a steeplechase marathon. Because the course is filled with obstacles. That's why we need each other. And those obstacles include opposition from people who aren't in the race. Many of the people you'll meet this week, many of your friends and neighbors, they don't even want you in the race. And there's so much in our culture today that calls you to live for self rather than Christ. That's the atmosphere of the age. And there are many influences that want to prevent you from going forward. In fact, there are influences out there that want you to terminate the race. There's a spiritual warfare going on all the time. And to move forward and to jump hurdles and to overcome obstacles, I mean obstacles like, we all know fear, maybe bitterness, selfishness, ignorance, huge obstacles spiritually. Not knowing the Word of God, being centered on yourself, all those things that can come. Well, you know, we've got to work to overcome those things in only one way, and that's maintaining a prayer life and spending time regularly meditating on the Word of God. And I mean meditating on the Word of God, really getting to grips with Scripture, and you know, not just praying when you lose your wife or some tragedy or some moment or some routine little grace, like a prayer life and a meditation on Scripture. Those are actually essential today. And then I can say that even huge obstacles, obstacles like disobedience or addiction, I mean it could be a physical addiction, drugs and alcohol, they're at play today, but huge obstacles can be overcome. But there's one crucial factor to all this, and that's the O, to observe the course, to stay focused on Christ. See, all this reading of Scripture and praying is about looking to Jesus, as we sang. I mean, what does it say, verse 2? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. We talked about His perfecting work this morning. But verse 3 says, Lord, you consider Him who endures such opposition from sinful men so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. That's the secret. It's the key to everything. I want to show you my first video clip here. I'm using, because it's a race, some sports analogies, and I've got a little clip of Usain Bolt who ran in the Olympics in 100 meters, and I think he did the 100 meters in 9.69 seconds, So let me see if we can get this to go. Just need to do a little thing here. And you watch this guy. But you notice. Than that clip. You know, it's one thing. My computer's a little bit lazy today. Oh, I don't want that. There you go. Well, didn't look at the clouds until he crossed the finish line. This is the end of the race. Now, nothing can throw a runner off his stride like looking at the runner coming from behind or the crowd in the stands. A successful runner, and Bolt knew this, now he's not looking, he's looking around now, but he's finished. A successful runner fixes his or eyes on the tape at the end of the course. And this word in the Bible, this word fixing in verse 2, it suggests the idea of looking away from everything else and staying focused fully on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not shifty eyes, focused. You see, and when you focus on Jesus, then other things of less significance, they just fall away, and you begin to see what's important in life. And it's so easy to focus on the wrong things. Important though they are, I want to go back to this, you know, we can focus on the witnesses, we can focus on the reward, we can focus on the wonder of heaven. I mean, but none of those things, great though those messages are, can sustain us like a vision of the glory of our Lord Jesus. You know, even the witnesses presented in Hebrews 11, important examples. What did you see this morning? They're not perfect. Remember those characters we went through. Jesus is the only one who's perfect. You know, even when Christ was here and people looked on him physically, they misunderstood the Lord. So many in Christ, they misunderstood his mission. They saw him as a triumphant king who would free them from Roman rule. And many today are like that. And this is the point. They're not believing in the Jesus of the Scriptures. When it says, look to Jesus, I mean, look to the Lord of the Scriptures. Look to the Lord who came to die for you. Because we need to make sure that when we're looking to Jesus, somebody says, I'm looking to Jesus. That we're looking to the Jesus of the Bible, the one who is our Savior, the one that's Lord of all, the one about whom Hebrews 2:10 says, for whom and by whom everything exists. I mean, he is the Creator. It's all for him. And as the second verse reminds us of this chapter, he's the one that endured the cross and is now exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, think rightly about Christ our Lord. Make sure we're looking at the Jesus of Scripture, and this passage is emphatic. It doesn't say, well, try to look at the Lord when you can. No, it says, fix your eyes on him, because, of course, he's the one that's unique. And verse 2 says, he's the one that endured the cross. I think most of you would have heard of another runner called Eric Liddell, because he was a Christian, he was a famous Scottish missionary, but he was a Christian Olympian champion. He was the one about whom they made the movie, which was around a few years ago now, called Chariots of Fire. And you might remember that story. He gave up the 100-meter race, which was his best event, in the 1924 Olympics, and that's before even I was born, but it was an important thing, because then he gave up this because it was on a Sunday, and it was against his Christian convictions, and instead he opted for the 400-meter race. And that's what they made the movie about. And one of the little incidents that I remember so well in that movie was on the day of the 400-meter race in the Olympics, as Liddell went to the starting block, someone slipped a piece of paper. into his hand, one of the American coaches, and it had this quotation on it from 1 Samuel 2:30. It said, "Those who honor me, I will honor." As you might remember, little ran with the Lord as his motivation. And he not only won that race, but he broke the existing world record with a time of 47.6 seconds, which was astounding in that day for a 400-meter race. But you see, the trick there was that, and it's no trick, the explanation was that little fixed his eyes on Jesus. He was a man who was focused. And now, let me say one other thing, though. There's always little caveats as you look at these practical applications. I'm sure many of you feel at this point that all this talk about Olympian champions and great runners is all very well, but you say, I can hardly walk. I mean, Colin's having to get help now, and I remember Colin running around Bethany Gospel Chapel years ago. I'm thinking, you're not running like you used to do. Physically. Well, you see, maybe there's some people who feel like that spiritually and say, I spend more time struggling to limp along rather than sprinting effortlessly. They say, this stuff of champions is going over my head. Well, listen, you need to focus on the Lord Jesus especially, because the fact is sometimes even walking is difficult. Some of you will remember teaching your children to walk. Maybe you remember the time when they couldn't walk and you held out your hands and said, come on, come on, come on, look at me, I'm here. In fact, you know what I did? I've been fooling around at my age trying to get my family snapshots together, and I found some old home movie. It's inexcusable to show home movies on Sunday night, but I found some old 8mm movie. This is old stuff because my son is, what, 40? How old is he? 45, and this is Adrian learning to walk, so don't expect great quality. But I want you to watch it, because there's an important point in this. So let's see if we can get this out. I put some music on because he used to come, but there he is. Little Adrian, he can't walk. That guy's down on his bottom again. He's up, and right up, he's doing it. Oh, now he's down again. Oh, yes. It's not done. Come on, it's Christmas. Hiding her eyes, shame. Look, she's holding her hand up. He did it. Baby. And let me tell you why. You know that lady sitting there? She says, come on, Adrian. Come on, come on, come on. Watch me. Look at me. And he looked at her. And he did it. And I looked at that clip and said, this is a passage. The main thing, whether you're just beginning the race or whether you're close to the finish line, is to focus on the one who holds out his arms and calls you forward. That's our Lord Jesus. You know, let me say this. It's very interesting, and let me get to some real Bible study for you Bible students. So I didn't come tonight to look at home movies. So let's get to the Greek word used for race. The Greek word used for race is a word from which we get our word agony. And that was a little thought that I had. I was looking at this for Good Friday, but it brought me to this point. Agony. It says, who for the joy set before him endures a cross. You see, the one that we're called to focus on, we've just gone through Easter. It's the same one who himself endured what? Agony. Even the agony of the cross. We need to think about our Lord Jesus, the one who gave his very life, shedding his blood in an agonizing death in order to bring his blessing and salvation, and realize that the running the race, the learning to walk, is looking to what? To him, the one who endured agony. So challenge yourself about it. Whether you're an Olympic champion or whether you're stumbling along, and how much time, well, look, here's a practical thing. How much time between Sundays do you spend thinking about who Christ is and what he's done for you? Do you only think about the cross on Sunday morning? I mean, focusing on Jesus, the one who can provide actually everything we need to finish the race, should be a daily occupation. Because, of course, he's the perfecter of our faith. See, the bottom line objective of Christians is that we persist to the end, and that's the RP, to finish well. And again, always think of Christ's example. I mean, at the end of his ministry, the Lord was able to say in John 14, as he approached the cross, I have glorified you on the earth because I finished the work you gave me to do. What an important statement. You see, the Lord who finished the work is the only one that can help you keep going until you cross the finish line too. And if you find yourself flagging in the race and you're like this guy, you're not getting anywhere because you can't, you've got to ask yourself, whose strength am I relying on? If you're losing ground, it may be because you're trying to run the race by yourself. It's the Lord that promised, and you all know that great scripture in Isaiah 40, the Lord that promised, look, they that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. In fact, it promises mounting up with wings as eagles. And remember this too, if you're really flagging on the race, wait on the Lord, but you can also get strength and encouragement from other veteran runners. You find a strong Christian, a veteran Christian. Somebody may be weak physically, but so strong spiritually. I can think in my life of many people who helped me recognize the specific track God placed me on. Big names, names you would know if I mentioned them. Saw me as a young man and got me to focus on the track. And he challenged me. I was like a guy carrying heavy suitcases and didn't know where I was going. This guy walking to the ocean with the luggage. But hey, they challenged me. Drop this stuff, David. Look where you're going. People who questioned where I was going. People who urged me to keep going when I began to realize how difficult the race would be. Now that's your job for mature Christians here, to do that. So don't neglect the opportunities that might come your way to get to know some Christians well enough to help you in your race. It's so sad to be isolated as a Christian. I mean, because I don't really know any mature Christians that I can talk to. We've got to spend time with people who've demonstrated endurance. Latch on to older Christians who are finishing well. They're the ones that can help you. You know, there's a very famous story about Eric Little. In one 440-meter race, he was actually knocked down very early in the race, and for a moment he just sat, dazed. But someone on the sideline yelled, "Get up and run!" And although he was actually 20 yards behind the others, he not only caught up to them, he passed the rest and won in an amazing performance. And he said, you know, one word of encouragement is all I needed. And that's often true spiritually. And if you're a veteran runner, if you're an experienced Christian, always be ready to call out, get up and run to anyone who falls down on the track. And if you're struggling, always remember this lovely scripture in James 1:12. It says, blessed are the ones that persevere under trial, because they receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him. You see, the reality is that like the Lord Jesus Christ, really, if you look at the big picture in life, the reality is it's the end of life that defines all that went before it. And if you stumble at the end, that's a huge tragedy. And if you want to finish well, the challenge is you've got to keep moving. You've got to make progress until you cross the finish line. Vigilance, spiritual vigilance needs to be maintained to the end, because this little passage is not just about running a race. It's about finishing it well. And let me encourage older Christians to concentrate on that. It's a marathon race. You know, the very famous marathon race is the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon has a little moment called Heartbreak Hill. It's at mile 19, and if you're known to go out marathon races, you'll know about this. It's a long, steep hill that tests the runners to the very core. It's Heartbreak Hill that separates the determined runner from the casual jogger. Now, you remember about the Lord Jesus. He faced the ultimate Heartbreak Hill. I mean, he looked ahead to Calvary. This passage says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He looked ahead at Calvary's hill, where he was crucified. on what Scripture says, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke 9:51. Don't quit. Oh, how important to have that. And when we encounter those heartbreak hills, you know, we can, if we look to the Lord, if we trust His promises, we can experience the faith that mirrors the magnificent faith that's shown by some of those victors in Hebrews 11. And remember this about the Lord Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, but He sat down at the right hand of God. It reminds us, it's the finish that matters. And that's what I want to stress. These are closing moments, but I've got another video clip for you. And this is an important one, because it's going back to the 1992 Olympics, and there was an especially heartbreaking moment. There was a runner called Derek Redmond, and he tore a hamstring early in the 400-meter race. And he actually collapsed in agony. But I was going to tell you about this moving story, but I found it as a clip on the internet. And so I want to show you a video clip of this event, because I want you to be inspired by the way this man got up and he limped towards the finish line. But what you should know, as you see this little clip, is that the man who barreled out of the stands and pushed everyone aside, all the ones who tried to stop him and help Derek hobble over the finish line, was his father. I want you to watch this carefully. Derek Redmond finishing, hobbling in with his father's help. I'm a very sensitive mouse pad here, so it's a little tricky, but we'll get this in a moment. Finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord will award to me on that day. But listen, not only to me, but also all who longed for His appearing. Brothers and sisters, you may be hobbling, but the Lord's there. He's with you. Persevere, consider him who endures, so you'll not lose heart. And go out free of encumbrances, running on course, going to that goal, focusing on Christ, and persist in the end to finish well. May God help us to hear the voice of our Lord saying, come on, and let's do it. Let's run the race for his glory. You know, we already sung my favorite hymn, but I'm going to ask you to sing a verse again of that wonderful hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Savior. The chairman stole my closer, but we're going to do it, because it's so wonderful. We won't sing the whole hymn, but I just want to sing the first and the last two verses, 1, verse 5 and 6. There's a little prayer that the mind of Christ and the running of the race and his beauty may characterize us. 1, the last two verses, 1, 5 and 6 of 145. We'll stay seated, but let's sing this as a prayer as we finish tonight. 445. What did I say, brother? Sometimes. 445. I appreciate your help there. You offer us, and we pray in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto you, Lord, as we onward go. Bless this congregation. Help us as we go through this week to remember all you've called us to do for the glory of Christ in his name. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll be back next week, and we'll be seeking the Lord's will as to where we go in Scripture, but we'll be glad to be with you, and God bless you all.